Our sermon text this morning is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. This is perhaps, I think, one of the most poignant passages in all of Scripture, at least to me. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send me to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. This morning, I just want to look at the first few verses of this passage and focus specifically on the curse of having wealth without grace. Many times we refer to having money, having wealth as a blessing. Is it? Is it really? Unless you have a good heart, wealth is a curse. Unless you have a grace to go along with the wealth, it's a curse. Think about it. Is it a blessing to be proud and think that you don't need God? Now, certainly the wealthy are not alone guilty of that. But if they're wealthy and they don't have a good heart, they're proud. And they don't think they need God. They have so much already. After all, it's like those in Revelation 3:17 that we read about, condemned in the church there. Because you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Many times, always in fact, rich people who do not know the Lord, who do not love God, are proud and don't think they need anything. When something comes up, they simply go out and buy it. When there's an issue, they pay for it. They get their money together. They use that money to buy the best that men can do. And they go buy it. They just go pay for it. They wave their money around and people go running. People are moved and coerced and bought by such things. People who want your money will then do what you want them to do. So they're used to just relying upon their money supply to sort of push their way around and get what they want in life. They don't rely upon God. Now there are times then when things get out beyond what money can do for you, things that you can't buy. But if your custom in life is never to rely upon God in the first place, you don't really rely upon Him there either. Is it a blessing to love money and hate God, which all wealthy people do who don't love the Lord? They hate God and they love money. That's what Jesus teaches in Luke 6:13. He says, No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. And so wealthy people who are not saved, who are not Christians, who are not born again, do not love God. That means that they love money and they hate God. They may not think that they hate God. They may not conscientiously sit there and have malicious thoughts in their heart toward God. But according to Jesus Christ, they do indeed hate God. If you love money, you do hate God. If you love God, you do hate money. That's what Jesus says. There's no neutrality in the heart toward God if I love money. There's no, well, he's okay. Well, he's not bad. Well, I don't really have any thoughts whatsoever toward God. Well, I don't really think about God whatsoever much at all. No, you hate him. You will love one and you'll hate the other. You will serve one and despise the other. Jesus knows our own hearts better than we do. If we don't hate money, then it means we do hate God. And wealthy people who are not saved, who are not born again, who have not been reconciled to God, love money. And therefore they hate God. Is that a blessing? Is it a blessing to be a person in this life who hates God? No, it's not. Is it a blessing to be rich and selfish? No. Luke 12:16-21, we read about a very selfish man who was very wealthy. Jesus told a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. We just stop there. God was blessing him, right? Maybe. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, and I'll build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Who now will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So I ask you again, is it a blessing to be rich and selfish? To be a rich hoarder? And to have a massive pile of the stuff? All for yourself? And be called a fool when you die? And enter into hell like the rich man in our passage? The rich man who's burning and is in torment in the flames? Is it a blessing to be a shrewd manager of money in this life? To know how to manage money? And many people don't. In fact, it seems most people don't. But there are people out there who know how to manage money. They know how to quit spending. They know how to spend less than they make. What an idea. They know how to live within a budget. They know how to say, you know what, I don't need that. I'm not going to buy it. And how to say no to the credit card, quit maxing it out to satiate their lusts all the time. They know how to do that. They know how to cut back. They know where to invest. They know where to put their money in the market. They know what's a good investment. They have an eye for these things. They know how to not to just waste it and throw it to the wind. And always putting your money in the wrong place all the time, so you're always losing things all the time, and everything you put in is a bad investment. They've figured that all out. They've got that down pat. And they accumulate, and over time that grows, and they become wealthy. And there's, in one sense, nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But is it a blessing to be a shrewd manager of money and be a fool with respect to eternity? Because you certainly can be. Imagine a person who's so shrewd that they know how to invest. They're future thinking people. They know that bad days may come. They're foreseeing events in one sense. They have a sort of a common sense savvy about how to deal with money, how to deal with problems, how to deal with unforeseen things that might come up, how to lay stuff aside, how to protect your money, how to put it in tax shelters, whatever the case may be. And yet all of that wisdom stops right at death. And they don't look past the grave. All of their forethinking, all of their planning, all the preparation for the future stops with my money supply right here. And beyond that, I'm a fool. I don't prepare for eternity. I spend all my time and all my investment in this life only, storing up treasure for myself. And none for eternity? That's a fool. Is it a blessing to have greater responsibility and then botch that responsibility? Do you want that? Do you want to have lots of responsibility laid upon you and then botch it? The rich person has lots of goods laid upon them, lots of blessings, so to speak. But if they're not rich toward God, then they've botched it. And their judgment is then greater. Luke 12:48, Jesus says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." I don't think he's only talking about money there, but I don't think he's excluding money either. To whom much is given, much is required. In Matthew 25:41-46, we see those departing into hell who did not use their money in the right way. "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.'" Lazarus. "I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will themselves will also answer. And you can hear the rich man saying this, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Is it a blessing to have greater responsibility and then botch that responsibility? James 1:5-6, James says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcries of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death a righteous man. He does not resist you." It's just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16 and his attitude toward Lazarus. Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Conversely, cursed are the unmerciful, for they shall receive none." And just as we see the rich man who did not give any mercy in his lifetime to this man laid at his gates, whom he had plenty of opportunity to show mercy to, now the day of probation is over, the testing day is over, he's dead. He's in hell, he receives no mercy. Just one drop of water, no. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Is it a blessing to be part of a class of people who are rarely saved? If you had a choice, and you knew that in this group of people, described as they are, characterized in a certain way, that only 1% of them ever went to heaven and 99% of them always went to hell, would you choose to be part of that group of people and gamble and say, "I bet I'll be of the 1%. Jesus says it is hard for the rich to get into heaven. The rich young ruler wandered off because he couldn't give away his possessions and follow Christ. He couldn't let it go. Jesus said to his disciples, "I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And say, "Oh, but there was Job, and there was Abraham, and there was Isaac, and people like that." That's not very many. There's a few. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, not many of you were noble, not many mighty, not many wise, according to this world. God's chosen the weak, the foolish things of this world, the Lazaruses of this world, to shame the wise. Is it really a blessing to be part of a class of people who are rarely ever saved? Is it a blessing to be pierced with many pangs, as Paul says the rich are? Those who want to get rich. He doesn't even say the rich. He says those who want to get rich. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation as a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. Is that a blessing? Think of the guilt that many times wealthy people have. Guilt over poor stewardship. Am I really spending my money the way I ought to? Should I give to that person? There's so many needs out there. What do I give to and what do I not give to? He said no so many times. The greed, the selfishness, the hoarding, the lame excuses for not giving. Can you hear the rich man justifying himself to his servants as he looks out on his gate and sees Lazarus laying there? Lame, apparently, having to have been carried by his friends to the gate. Has sores all over his body. Looks horrible. He's probably saying things like, that man, whatever his name is, deserves to be there, I'm sure. What are they laying at my gate? God helps those who help themselves. I worked hard to get where I am today. I don't think I should have to squander my inheritance on this man. And if I give to him, how many other people are going to come lay at my gate? Then I'm going to have hordes of people lined up outside my gate wanting all my stuff. And then I'm going to become a pauper. You hear the rationale? Can't you hear him saying that? Where's it going to stop? Can't take care of everybody in the world. He could be faking the whole thing. This could be a big ruse, a charade. I bet he's not even lame. That it's just part of his M.O. Such words are often on the lips of people who don't want to part with their money. I know it's hard in America because we have a lot of charlatans running around pretending to be poor who are just swindling people. It makes you kind of jaded after a while. Can you hear the rich man saying grace before his daily sumptuous feasting, as some translations give it? The NES says he daily lived in splendor every day. And some say he feasted sumptuously every day. Sitting down, he's got this big old spread, meat and varieties of food all scattered across his table. It's a big old buffet. He's got his servants and his family gathered around, and they're ready for their daily gluttonous feast. And Lazarus is out at the gates with his sores, laying there lame, longing to be fed with a few crumbs that fall on the ground. A piece of something that falls out of somebody's mouth, he's wishing that he could have that. Just that. That's all. You can see them sitting down to say grace in their prayers. Dear Lord, thank you for this plentiful supply you've given us. You've been so good to us. Thank you so much for all the good food that you've provided. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not been like some others who are cursed in this life and people like this Lazarus out there. I thank you for all that you've given me. Amen. Is it really a blessing to be rich and then go to hell? It's not a blessing if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, if you don't have a new heart, and you shouldn't be longing for it. Is it a blessing to be consumed by vanity? Like the rich man described in Ecclesiastes 5, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, and he who loves abundance with its income, this too is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, riches being hoarded by their owner to his hurt. When those riches were lost through a bad investment and he had fathered a son, then there was nothing to support him. As he had come naked from his mother's womb, so will he return as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor so that he can carry in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, thus will he die. So what is the advantage to him who toils for the wind? Throughout his life, he also eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. Is that a blessing? To lose and to fear losing what you can't keep anyway? Spend your life being afraid of losing something that you can't keep anyway. Is that logical? Is this person even sane? They're nuts. I'm fearing losing what I can't keep anyway. Was wealth a blessing to the rich man in this particular account? Did it help him depend on God? Did it focus his thoughts heavenward on eternal things that matter? Did it make him generous, kind, merciful, the fact that he had more money to be kind and merciful and generous with? No. Would he consider it all a blessing as he reflected upon it in hell? What does he think now about his life on earth with all his pleasures and riches? Does he think, yeah, it was worth it all. I'd go back and do it again in a heartbeat. Is that what he would say? If he were permitted to come out of hell and counsel anybody, is that what he would say? The text answers it for us. He's trying to get somebody to come out of hell to go warn his brothers and tell them the truth. He's full of regret. Is it worth having all your comforts in this life and none in the next? Was the daily splendor worth it all? Was being dressed in mighty fine threads worth it all? The purple, the linen. Oh, it feels so smooth. Boy, he looks good, doesn't he? Can you see him in the morning primping himself in the mirror and looking at his clothes and having servants flutter around him like butterflies and pad things out and get the wrinkles out? Oh, you just look so handsome. You just look like a royal king. Daily living splendor, gaily, joyously, celebrating all my comforts in life. What comfort is it to him in hell? Did it help him to feast on the best food and a good portion of it with lots of variety? Wealth can be a blessing if it is attended with grace in the heart. If God gives you grace in the heart, it can be a blessing because now you have much to give. Because you're generous. Now you have a lot to be generous with. You have all kinds of opportunities in this life. Instruct those who are rich in this present world, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. So if they're rich and they have grace in the heart, and they're good and ready to share and rich in good works, then they lay up for themselves treasure in heaven that lasts forever. So it can be a blessing if a person has a good heart to go along with it, along with their wealth. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So if you're generous and you have a lot to be generous with, it will be returned to you. By your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. It's not that a rich person who is generous has any kind of an increased measure over a poor person who is generous. It's just simply according to your measure, according to the measure of your generosity, to do with what you have. What you've been given, to do good with it, how much ever it may be. You remember that the poor widow put in her two mites, and Jesus said she gave more than all of the other people into the treasury. She gave exceedingly abundant beyond her even her own capacity. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. There's great reward. And so it can be a blessing to have a lot of means with which to do good. Most can't repay you in this life if you're rich, and so your reward will be in heaven. And that's a good thing, that they can't repay you. That they can't return to you what you've done for them, at least to the same degree. That's a good thing if you're in that position. In Luke 14, 12 through 14, Jesus went on to say to those who had invited him to a dinner, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repayment come to you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." You'll be repaid there, not here. And that's a good thing. So it can be a blessing to be a rich person and to have enough means to do good to all kinds of people who then can't repay you, because then your repayment will most certainly be at the resurrection of the righteous, which is where you should want your repayment to be. In Luke 12, 33 through 34, Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So you will have unfailing treasure in heaven. You will also have a powerful testimony. If you sell your possessions and come to follow Him, you will have a powerful testimony. People will see in your life that something else motivates Him. Something else is driving Him besides what drives most people. It's obviously not the love of money, which is the great explanation for why many people do a lot of the things that they do. And the great explanation for a lot of our political issues, the love of money. And they will see in you, this is someone different. What is it about him? He just went and sold all he had, gave it away. He had all this and he just gave it away. What's the deal with him? Like those in the early church, Acts 2, 44 through 45, it says of them, "All those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need." Now, the rich guy who has the bigger barns, he would say that's poor stewardship. Selling your property? What are you, nuts? You've got to hang on to that. What are you thinking? You're not thinking about the future. Actually, they are thinking of the future. They're thinking of a future beyond this life. It's the only reason anyone would ever sell their property. Ordinarily, it's not a good idea to get rid of land. But they did. You have a powerful testimony. So it can be a tremendous blessing to be rich as long as you've got a good heart to go along with it. And if you don't have a good heart, I wouldn't be asking to be wealthy, because it's a curse. Not many are saved. Think of the example of Christ. Christ became poor so that we, through Him, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Christ was a rich man. And He became poor so that you might become rich. Not with money, necessarily, but with the right things, with spiritual riches and wealth. He became poor so that you, through Him, might become rich. Christ had no weaknesses. He was not yet called Christ. Yet He became full of weaknesses when He came and was born of the Virgin Mary. A baby, dependent upon His mother, had to eat, drink, sleep, do all these human things. That's poverty compared to what He had before. He was rich, He became poor. He was subject to temptations. That's a sort of poverty as a human being compared to what He was before. to have no place to lay his head, as he told one person who wanted to follow him. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What? You're kidding me. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head? That's a poverty. Does anybody have a coin? Bring it to me. Well, you don't have a coin? No. He's not carrying money, apparently. Old Judas is carrying it. We know what he's doing with it. He knew what he was doing with it. On the cross, he points to John and says, "Behold your mother," to Mary, and to Mary, "behold your son." He doesn't have an inheritance, apparently, or some storehouse of goods that he's laid up to take care of his mother, Joseph apparently being dead. He has to ask somebody else to take care of her. To be insulted, lied about, and quarreled with, that's a poverty. He was rich and he became poor. To be beaten, slapped, spit upon, mocked, crucified, that's a poverty. He who was rich became poor so that we, through him, might become rich. Ephesians 1, 3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," speaking to believers, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. That's rich. You, if you are in Christ, you are rich. And he who was rich became poor so that you might be rich. "Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." And in 2 Peter 1, 2-3, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us." He's granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We're rich if we are in Jesus Christ, because he who was rich became poor so that we might be rich. That's our example. Not the rich man who won't even give a crumb off his floor to Lazarus at his gate. Christ is a rich man who gives up his riches in order to make poor people rich. It would be like Bill Gates, with his billions of dollars, giving it all away to a host of poor people and helping them live in high-class homes and drive high-class cars, and he doesn't live in his home anymore because some poor person is now living in it. Him becoming poor so that others might be rich. In a sense, I feel sorry for Bill Gates, so you know, always get picked on when you're one of the richest men in the world. Everybody uses you as a proverb. Don't know the man, don't know anything about him. But it would be like that, only far greater. Jesus Christ being far richer than the ways that count. It would be like Bill Gates giving away his cars to poor people and then him walking and riding bikes everywhere. Riches are not a blessing unless you have a new heart. They are a blessing if you do have a new heart, but none of us should really be longing for it. Poverty can also be a blessing if there's grace in the heart. Poverty is no more of a blessing to you than riches if you don't have a new heart. Which is why, in Proverbs 37-9, Agur prayed like this, "Two things I have asked of you, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I be not full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or that I be not in want and steal and profane the name of my God." So don't give me riches lest I forget you, which is what they were warned about in Deuteronomy, that when you enter the land and you enter homes that you did not build and you drink out of wells that you did not dig and you eat from fruit trees that you didn't plant and you experience all this wealth, beware lest your heart turn away from God and you forget him. There's the curse of wealth. You forget God because you just don't need anything. Everything's already taken care of. But the curse of poverty is that I will have a covetous heart and steal from those who do have things. Being poor is no more of a blessing than being rich if you don't have a new heart to go along with it. The issue is the heart. Do you want to be rich? Paul said those who want to be rich fall into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Many, many poor people in the world are no more going to heaven than the rich man was. Why? Because they don't love God either. Because instead of trusting upon God in their poverty, they're coveting what the rich people have and believing that they ought to have it. And we need to rob from Peter to pay me. So beware of thinking that there's some salvation in being poor. The wisdom of this prayer in Proverbs of just having enough. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Just give me enough. Just enough. The portion that is for me. The portion that I ought to have. Feed me with the food that is my portion. The wisdom in that is that people who have to work then to get enough money stay out of a lot of trouble. If you just get a paycheck coming in the mail and you don't have to work for it, usually you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Work is a wonderful gift of God that keeps us from meddling in other people's affairs, keeps us away from gross sin that we have the time to do if we have no obligations to work and I just have an automatic paycheck coming. We could branch off into this into a great political discussion, couldn't we? About the ills of our political system and the failures of it all. And how welfare doesn't do people any good, and how we've done really no favors to the American Indians or to a lot of black people. Giving people an automatic paycheck as a payment for previous sins against them doesn't actually help them. Because human nature, all of us, white, black, Indian, whoever, it doesn't matter what your color is, all of us are inherently lazy. And if you give me money and I don't have to do anything to get it, then I'll probably be in jail soon. Because what am I going to do with my free time now? Probably drink. And then leads to other things. Work is a gift. And those who just have enough have to keep working hard to keep busy, and it keeps them out of a lot of trouble. If you have a new heart and you have poverty, it's easier to look to God for provision and comfort. It's just plain easier. Because there's no stockpile to look to. It's not, well, what will happen if this? Well, I guess I'll have to rely on God. No, it's, what will happen if this? Well, I've got the stockpile over here. I've got my big pile of gold I'll resort to. And so then they forget God. They don't need God. When calamity comes, they resort to the stockpile, not God. Oh, yes, I know. If we sit down and think about it, we can say, but God provided the stockpile. But that doesn't work. It doesn't result in any active faith or trust in God. Just acknowledging that God gave it once upon a time has never helped anybody have real active living faith and trust in Him. Luke 6:21-25, blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. If you have grace, and if you have poverty at the same time, it can be a real blessing. This life has not provided much to allure you. And so you look to God. You don't have a lot of money and possessions to distract you and consume all your time and your thoughts. And so your mind is available for God. Think of Lazarus. His trust was not in his savings accounts, was it? His trust was not in his IRAs, his pensions, his mutual funds, and so on. His hope was not in this life. His happiness was not bound up in worldly things. He didn't have any. Poverty can be a real blessing. Lazarus, contrary to what the world thinks, is the blessed one in this story. Lazarus is the blessed one. The man with sores all over his body, who has no money to go to the doctor to fix it, who has not enough food and is apparently somewhat starving, and who is lame. Now, what does that do to the health and wealth gospel? According to the health and wealth gospel, the rich man is the one who is loved and blessed by God. According to this story that Jesus tells, Lazarus is. How can you possibly hold to the wealth, health and wealth gospel? That if God loves you, He'll give you health and wealth. When this passage is in Scripture, how does that possibly hold up? So by way of application, what is your hope? Where is your faith? What do you trust in? Where is your kingdom? Where's your investment? What are you looking to? This life or the next one? Whom do you serve? God or money? Whom do you love? Frankly, we have to admit, in circumstances, most of us here, me included, are like the rich man, not Lazarus. In circumstances. I didn't say in heart. But most of us have more than enough. More than enough. We're not like Lazarus. We're not starving. Not even close. Not even close. We don't have sores all over our body. People don't look at us and go, ugh. I want to walk across the other side of the street or hold their nose as they walk by because perhaps there's some stink coming off of it. Most of us, when we have a medical problem, can go visit the doctor. In fact, I'm sure that would be the case for almost all of us. It's available. It's there. Most of us have some money coming in. So the question is, are we like Him in spirit? Are we poor in spirit? Are we beggars of God's grace? Are we conscious of relying upon God every moment? Or of being dependent upon God? We're all dependent on God, whether you know it or not. Whether you realize it or not. The question is, do you realize it? Are you conscious of it? The rich man was just as dependent on God as Lazarus was. He just doesn't know it. He just has no understanding of it because he's got his stockpile that he thinks he earned and built up and by his wisdom and shrewdness and good money management has kept. And he's got his estate. And he doesn't realize that he's utterly dependent on God. So are we in spirit more like the rich man or more like Lazarus? We either love money and hate God or we love God and hate money. It's one of the true two. If you're rich in this world, most of us probably are by comparison. Are you generous with it and eager to help others with it? Could this be why so few Americans are saved? I know if you did a poll, probably 90-some percent say they're Christian. I'm not talking about what people say they are and have no idea what the word means. I'm talking about the Bible's definition of these things. Born again, believer, reconciled with God, disciple of Jesus Christ, follower of Him, obedient to His commandments. Those kind of people. Now what percent are we down to? One? Could it be that we're just simply too wealthy as a nation to even depend upon God, to think that we need Him whatsoever? Could it be that we've been cursed with wealth? I know, we talk about it as a blessing all the time. It's always assumed to be a blessing. But remember, God gave Ishmael and Esau both a lot of things. And He specifically said He hated Esau. He gave him a lot of stuff, though. A lot of worldly goods. It's not always a blessing. It's only a blessing if it comes with a new heart. Do we have too much? Are we too independent? too self-sufficient, too proud. We have too much money, too many possessions, too many distractions to be interested in God and His Word. One of the curses of being wealthy is you have so much money, you can do so many things in this life. And this life has such a smorgasbord of things that you can do. You don't have time for this. Live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, you got the money. Go for it. That's the American dream, is it not, sometimes? Too few needs. And if we have needs, will we just pay our way out of them? May it not be true of us. May God protect us all from this curse of having wealth without a new heart. Pray. Father, we tremble, for You have indeed given us a lot of things in this life. You've given us sustenance and money and jobs and plenty of food. And we pray that You would protect us from the curse of gaily living in splendor every day and despising those poor people out there that belong to You. And that we would not be like the rich man who hoards his goods and builds up bigger barns for himself. We would truly understand that this life is temporary and what we have is meant to be shared. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.